Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3. And reading from verse 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence in this hour, knowing, Father, that as it was in Paul's day where you came and you revealed yourself by expressing your life through that and your word through that pillar of fire to a prophet, so too, Father, the Alpha has become Omega, and we have seen, Lord, your presence among us in this hour, and we've heard the words through your vindicated prophet. And so, Father, we just humbly and reverently, Lord, approach the words, your words, Father, your shout, which you gave through that prophet, lining that word with the Alpha, so that we might have an understanding of our position in your family. Be with us today, Father, and help us, O God, as we just submit ourselves. As Paul said, "I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, for your sake." And Father, we humbly ask you to help us, Lord, as we submit ourselves as prisoners of thee also for the sake of others. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to continue in our series on Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And I'd like to kind of subtitle the message this morning, Expressed Life, Not Intellectual. Now, we're going to read from paragraph 128 of Christ is the mystery of God revealed this morning. And it's a little bit of a follow-up from Wednesday night's service, where Brother Bram said, "But the only way that you're saved is to know him by revelation." Now, Wednesday night we showed the definition of the word revelation. We showed the difference between knowledge and revelation. Because most people in their mind, they think that revelation is something you know. Something that somehow, some miraculous way, you got it. And that's not revelation, brother, sister. That's knowledge. Revelation, according to the our English dictionary, is in theology, revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. And the word manifestation means it's a visible expression. So we're looking at the visible expression of divine will, the visible expression of divine truth. And as we said Wednesday night, knowledge is one thing, but how you get that knowledge is what we call revelation. Because Jesus said to Peter, he said, "You didn't get it from man. You didn't get it from some seminary. You didn't get it from listening to somebody. It's not something that comes from man. It comes from God." Well, we could say that knowledge is knowing. But it's the act of coming to that knowing is what we call revelation. When something you do not know is made known to you, it's the way that it's made known to you. So the process of coming to this knowledge, and then knowing as you're known, so to speak. Because there's something about this knowledge that is not mental. It is experiential. You know not because you know. I mean, it's not something that I just figured it out. I read the book, I got the manual out, and I figured out this is what it is. But it's actually knowing him. It doesn't matter what you know about things. It's not what you know, it's who you know. But you know because you've experienced the knowing or the knowledge that you now possess. You know, for years we've had our minds kind of in this little tiff about passive faith, active faith. People were afraid to talk about active faith because, you know, passive faith was preached so strongly. And passive faith, you've got to have, Brother Bell said, you've got to have the passive faith before you can have the active. So they did away with the active. No, you see, you've got it all wrong. If you don't have an active, you don't even have a passive. You know, years ago, we sat in our little church. We'd have a circle on Wednesday nights. And so I knew that the group up there, and we're part of that group, we're a sister church, and I knew people were struggling with the understanding of what's passive faith, what's active faith. Brother Bell preached on it for a year and a half. People still didn't get it. We sat down on one Wednesday night, and I took the book of Ephesians, and I said, okay, here is a definition of passive faith. God's doing it. You're just watching. That's it. Now, here's a definition of active faith. You're responding to what God has done. Noah responded to what God told him, to the revelation, and he built the ark. You see? Moses responded, he took the people out. So your response, not the cart before the horse, your response to what was passively given. We went through and we read Ephesians 1:1, Ephesians 1:2, Ephesians 1:3. 30 people in the group went through the entire time. We had some kids were even 6 years old. If they could read, we let them read. Then we discussed. I asked the person that just read. I said, "Is that a passive or is that an active thing?" And you know, one time in the first 30 times around, we had one miss. Second time around, not a miss. Third time around, not a miss. Fourth time around, not a miss. We went through all six chapters. Not another miss. The people in an hour and a half study, they understood what was taking people a year and a half to understand. That's when I went to Brother Val. I told him what we do on Wednesday nights. We would talk the word. In a circle, we talk the word. That's when he decided to have Friday night talk sessions up there. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is you can't have just a passive revelation. If you have a passive revelation and there's nothing as a response, no action, no manifestation, no expression coming from you, you are dead. You're dead. You're just following, you're in a school, the school of the prophets. You're just coming to learn, you're bored, you're not entering into, you're not part of. So we're looking at a visible, that's what revelation is. It's the manifestation. Now the word manifestation means a visible expression. So it's not just words given to you. And you memorize those words and the person who can memorize the most words, hey, they're the most spiritual. Is that how it works? Listen, I've seen people in this message that could talk this word really good. And where are they today? Out in bars and everything else. Backslidden, living for the devil. And I'm not talking about people that you know. I'm talking about people you don't know. I'm talking about ministers. Ministers. Guys who were touted to be the next Donnie Reagan. But they did believe that there's one God. He had a son. Divorced. In the gutter somewhere. They could talk this word better than any of you could. Oh yeah. And they got nothing. They've got nothing. Just talk. And that's what we've had for 20, 30 years. Just talk, talk, talk. And God's not coming for a bunch of talkers. He said, if you walk with me, if you walk in the light, walking, not talking, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you have fellowship with Him, and then you have fellowship with one another because we happen to be walking with the same one, the same, hallelujah. Amen. So not the knowledge itself is revelation, but how you get the knowledge is what's so important for us to understand. Because we could say the knowledge is the knowing, but the act of coming to that knowing is what we call revelation. When something you do not know is made known to you in a way which has been expressed in some way, God does it some way. And so the process of coming to this knowledge and then knowing as you're known, so to speak, because there's something about this knowledge, as I said, it's not mental, it is experiential. Mary said, how can I be with child having known no man? Oh, she didn't know a man. So she never met a man because she don't know no. No, that's not what it says. The word is gnosko. It means an experiential knowledge. A knowledge that comes through an experience. She says, I haven't experienced a man. I haven't known a man in that way. And that's how God wants you to know him. Experientially. If you just know him as a history, forget it. You're still in your sin. Not because you know, but you know because you have experienced the knowing or the knowledge that you now possess. That's why, you know, the school of hard knocks is probably the best education you'll ever get. You can go to the university, you can study all day long, and you come out with a bunch of theory. But once have your hand in the plow, you've experienced life, then you know. And this experiential knowing is what is so vital to our birth. Because let's face it, we all know people who could talk the word correctly all day long. Who could quote the prophet perfectly. Even quote Brother Vail perfectly. But then as time passes by, somehow they go off the deep end. And they leave the message altogether. Now, why would Paul warn us in Hebrews 6 if there were not not going to be a people who fit that warning? Hebrews 6 says, for it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened. That's what the Weiss translation says. Once for all enlightened. Well, when have we had a once for all enlightenment? This hour. And it's impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. Now, if you've been around this message, you've tasted that heavenly gift. And were made partakers, that means companions of the Holy Ghost. That means you knew the Holy Ghost himself has come down. And have tasted the good word of God. And the powers of the world to come. And if they shall fall away, it's impossible for them to renew again themselves unto repentance, unto a change of their mind. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He doesn't forget one cold glass of water you've given to someone in the name of Jesus Christ. Which you have showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. In other words, not just one time, but it's a habit. It's part of your life. You do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's not knowing itself that's revelation. The knowing is just knowing. But the act of coming to that knowledge, that's a different story. How you got it. That's the real test. And Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood, never taught this to you. My Father expressed it through a vessel. And you caught the expression and you recognized the expression as being God, as being supernatural. And you acted upon it. You heard it, recognized it, and acted upon the word of God expressed. And Brother Brown, he even preached a sermon called that. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon. What good does it do to hear if you don't recognize? What good does it do to recognize if you don't act upon? There wouldn't be a human civilization if Noah hadn't acted upon the word of God. There wouldn't have been an Exodus if you hadn't had a prophet act upon the word of God. And a people follow that prophet in that pillar of fire. Brother Ram continues to delineate the point when he says, I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals till you won't know. And I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right. But that's not it. Man, what a relief. I don't have to be a theologian. I don't have to be the most scholarly Bible student. You know, how many of them did God ever reveal himself to in the Bible? Maybe one or two. Paul and Moses. Certainly William Branham wasn't what you call the scholarly trained theologian. Neither was John or Peter. They were ignorant and unlearned people. He says, but that's not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. He says it twice for emphasis. His church, now listen to this, his church is himself revealed. What? Amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself that he is God. So what Brother Branham is telling us here is that God's church is God himself. His God life expressing itself in human vessels. Wow. That's his church. That's why John 14:12 is so important, because if you can't receive it, brother, sister, you haven't turned the corner. It's not how much you know. Paul told us that in 1 Corinthians 13:1. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, have not love, I'm becoming as a sounding brass, tinkling of crystal. It's a symbol. And though I have the gift of prophecy, that's not, you know, to look into the future, that's prophecy is preaching. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Now what is love then? Paul says there remaineth faith, hope, and love, right? These three. And the greatest of these is love. Oh, I thought faith was the greatest. No, faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation. Though I have faith, hope, and love, these three things. And the greatest is love. Faith is a revelation. That's the beginning. When you see that expression, and if it's truly recognized, then as you enter in, you become that expression. Because you see the progress of faith into hope. Hope is an earnest expectation, which earnestly expects something from that faith, something from that revelation. And it builds until there's an outpouring, until there's an expression, until there's a manifestation of that revelation. And that manifestation of the revelation is love. And it's expressed from you in the form of giving. Oh, I'm not talking about open your wallets and pour out the money. I'm talking about giving of yourself. Giving of that revelation, that giving of that expressed word that you are. You are the expressed word now. Let it go. I mean, just let it happen. Let go and let it happen. Be what God, you are the written epistle. Just let God use it. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Giving is expressed in many aspects of your life. You sisters that are nurses, there's a Brother Brown said there's a ministry there. You sisters that are great at cooking and you know how to effectively motivate people to by that smell and that aroma. That's a giving. You're giving of yourself. You're giving of your time. You're giving of your ingredients. It's part of being part of a family. Nothing better than to come down in the morning and smell eggs and bacon cooking. What a motivation to get you up out of bed. Huh? Get you going. Nothing better than to come home to a house that's trimmed and clean and there's aroma of things cooking. You see, Margaret and Mary, two sisters so different from each other, one sat around, talked the word, and that was all right. She rubbed elbows with the guys and she liked to talk the word. But Margaret, she sat in the kitchen. She cooked for Jesus. She cleaned for Jesus. She wasn't a talker. She wouldn't have done very well in Friday night meetings. But you know what? She had a revelation. Because when her brother was dead, her sister, who was the spiritual one, kind of chewed Jesus out for not being there. But Margaret, she said, you know, even though, whatever now, he's dead in the grave, but whatever you say, it'll be done. She wasn't just, you know, so obscured into her cooking, she wasn't catching what was going on. She had a revelation. She saw the expression. She became an expression. That was her way of expressing herself to Jesus Christ. What? Martha, excuse me. Margaret Martha. Okay. Now, the Amplified Version puts it this way. To make it a little bit more 21st century for you. If I can speak in languages of men and even of angels, that means if I can speak better than just a little bit of English, I know brothers that can speak seven languages. And he says, even of angels, but have not an outward expression of the revelation, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift to preach and understand all the mysteries of the Bible and possess all knowledge, to tell you all about it. And if I have such great faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not reflect God's expressed revelation of himself in my life, I'm nothing. I am but a useless nobody. Wow. And that's true. Look at all the theologians in this world. And they look down at William Branham's seventh grade education. Go to the campuses. Look at the university professors that walk around with their nose up in the air. Like Brother Brown said, if it rained, they'd drown. I know I was rubbing elbows with them for 10 years. Pete knows he was rubbing elbows for, I don't remember how many years you were, but a long time. And what have they got? Nothing. Then Brother Branham says, how can you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and then be baptized in it? Heathens. Right. How can you say you know Jesus Christ? He's the Word. When there's not a scripture in the Bible, there's not a place where anybody was ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you say you know Jesus? Now, the sad thing is that he's not talking to Catholics here. We know what they believe. They were the authors of the Trinitarian baptism. Actually, they weren't. Babylonia was. Anoia and Enlil. But this is so-called believers he's talking about, Pentecostals who should know better. Listen, as he continues, he says, and you Jesus-only people. Just using the name. And listen, let's just face it. He's talking to whoever is listening. So if you listen to the tapes, he's talking to you. And he's saying, if you're baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the Word of God. You might pontificate. You might get up there and have a great, eloquent education and distinction and talk. You don't know nothing. And they said, and you Jesus-only people, just using the name Jesus for baptism. Well, I'm personally acquainted with about four or five Jesuses myself. So you see what your denomination leads you into? That's the darkness, the expression of Cain who brought fruits in the stead of blood. But the revelation comes through the blood. What is that? That was the life that was expressed. Expressed. You couldn't see the blood until it was expressed, right? And it was the... It comes through the blood, through Jesus Christ, who is the blood of God, creative blood in the womb of Mary. And Paul knew him by revelation. That's how we know him today. It's the only way that you could know him, not saying, well, I'm Methodist, that means nothing. I'm Baptist, that means nothing. Well, I'm Catholic, that means nothing. Well, I'm message believer, that means nothing. Well, I follow Brother Branham, that just means you can read. But the revelation that God has revealed the Word to you, He is the Word and the Word. Now watch, Brother Branham gets right down to the main point of what he's driving at here. He says, He is the Word and the Word, and how do you know it's revealed? Now come on. How many been in the message at least 30 years? How many been in the message at least 20 years? Even you kids should raise your hands on that. You not kids, sorry. You young adults. And he says, how do you know it's revealed? How do you know it's just something that you're just not parroting because mom and dad talked it? Or you heard it around church, so you just mock it. You know, mock means to say the same thing. You have a mocking bird, he acts like he's a different bird, right? Well, in the days of Lot, they mocked. You see, we have scoffers, mockers in the last day. People that can say it. Like Brother Vail said, they've got it, but they don't got it. No. I'm not Methodist. I'm not Baptist. I'm not Catholic. I'm not message believer. That means nothing. But by the revelation that God has revealed the Word to you, He is the Word, and how do you know it's revealed? It lives itself and expresses itself through William Branham. Huh? No, that's not what he said. You got your books here? You better check me on that. It lives itself and expresses itself through you. Through you. Oh, churches. Churches has long forgotten that revelation. That great revelation. And that is the greatest problem we face, each one of us, in this message this morning. How do you know personally that it is revealed to you? How do you know? Well, you see, I follow a man because, you know, he followed a man. That man was a great man, and this man was a great man, so I follow them. That's fine. That's good for them. But what about you? What about you? How do you know it's been revealed? Well, because I know it up here. That's not revelation. Revelation is manifestation of truth. How do you know? How do you know? Most people would say, well, because I believe the message. Therefore, I got it. But then we have perhaps 1,000 varieties of the message today. Which message do you believe? I mean, there's already 17 varieties before Brother Branham died. He said so. And there are perhaps as many varieties of the message as there are denominational varieties of Christianity today, because people have done the same thing to this message that they did to the Bible from where the Bible came from. Now, let me tell you something. So if there's 2,000 now today denominations, we probably have that reflected in the message. Just about every preacher's got his own denomination, his own organization. Well, you say, okay, I honed it down because I believe Brother Vail. Well, which variety of believing Brother Vail? Because there's brothers that believe Brother Vail. They say they believe Brother Vail, and yet they teach it that you don't need an experience. And then there's brothers who teach you do. You better have an experience. And there's brothers who believe that there's two Lords, even though Brother Vail called it a fallacy. And then there's those who don't believe it's believe in two Lords, because Brother Vail did say it's a fallacy, and it is a fallacy. Well, I believe everything Brother Vail taught it. Well, you know, I can show you where he said both sides of things. He said seven times. He just used the phrase, it's two Lords, seven times. Then the eighth time he said, hey, it's a fallacy. He didn't use it after that. So what do you stand? Which variety do you have? Is it here or is it here? Do you know it from hearing, or have you recognized and acted upon it? You understand? But notice Brother Branham asks a question. He says, how do you know that you got it? How do you know it's been revealed to you personally? How do you know it's revealed? Because it lives itself and expresses itself through you. Now, do you see yourself as the expression of Jesus Christ? Do you? I'm asking you. Well, sometimes. Well, Lord, you know, I, you know, like the Catholic, you know. Well, Lord, I did more good than I did bad. Yeah, so. Jesus Christ is the same. Are you the same? Because if you're not the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's not Jesus Christ living your life for you. It's maybe sometimes you let Him be Lord, sometimes you don't. And you be Lord of your own life. I'm talking about the only way you can get there, brothers and sisters. You can't live this message, but He can. You've got to die to yourself so that He can live. You've got to put your past in the past. Bury it. Don't bring it up again. Because every time you bring it up, you're reliving that sin. You're reliving that evil. You've got to die. Listen, there was a sister in Poland. She had cursed her sister when she was a Pentecostal girl. When her sister was pregnant with their first child, she had cursed the sister because she had left the Pentecostals, became a message believer. She put a curse on her sister and she said, "May your first baby die." That was a pretty hard thing to do. Well, the sister had no problem with the pregnancy. The child lives healthy. But then this sister came in the message 2 years later, met a young man in the church, fell in love, got married, got pregnant. And just before the baby was due to be born, the baby died in her womb. She knew that her curse had come back on herself and tried to kill herself. They had to keep her in the hospital for, I think, 3 to 6 weeks, somewhere in there. 6 weeks, I think it was. Till she finally got her mind back. Then she decided when she got home, she was going to fix a nice meal for her husband. She went down to the local store. The stores there are like, they have apartment buildings above the stores, you know, their storefronts. She went in. They didn't have the particular item. She had gotten most of her items, didn't have a particular item she wanted. So the guy said, "Well, I have that upstairs. Why don't you come upstairs with me?" And so she followed him up the stairs. And when she got about halfway up the stairs, she realized there was another man walking up the stairs behind her. They grabbed her, they took her upstairs, they raped her. Now she felt just as the lowest thing that there could be on earth. And her husband looked at her that way. He didn't want to touch her. She'd been touched by somebody else. And she had gone, basically taken on a spirit at that point. She tried to kill herself. She became very suicidal, cut her hair, felt, "How can I be in the bride of Jesus Christ? I've been raped." That has nothing to do with being the bride of Jesus Christ. She sat in there in the service, and I felt led after the preaching on the end time neurosis, this 97. And I began to pray for the sick. And when I called for a prayer line, she began to scream. Brother Michael standing right behind, she got up right in front of the pulpit, and Brother Michael standing a little bit closer than you are, Brother Peter, in the first row there. Michael had his hands up. He was worshiping God. The Holy Spirit could really feel His presence there. And as soon as this woman stood before him, his hands, he couldn't hold his hands apart. They slammed together. You remember that, Michael? That sister had a demon. It was preventing him from worshiping God with his hands up. Slammed the hands together. He could feel the power, the force. Wasn't sure what it was. But when that devil was cast out, that is just like a total relief in her life. And I sat with them in counsel afterwards and I said, "Sister, you might have been abused in this body. But this body is not the one you're going to have on the other side. This is going to be cleaned up. It's going to be reorganized. It's going to be reshaped. It's going to be exactly the way God foreknown it before the foundation of the world. This body that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth by a sexual act to begin with, is not the body you're going to have over there. No man will ever have touched, nor will they touch, that body that you have over there. It is not going to be husband and wife coital. It's going to be husband and wife like brothers and sisters." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next day, her and her husband sat in church, and like Brother Jack Bell used to say, looked like mules eating buckberries, just grinned from ear to ear. Why? Brother, sister, when you hold on to the past, you can't go forward. You have got to bury yourself, your sin, your life under the blood of Jesus Christ and move forward. And don't bring it up again. Brother Billy Paul told me this years ago. He said, Daddy told me, he said that if a person puts something under the blood of Jesus Christ and the person that removes it, that person that removes that is guilty of that sin. Next time you decide to gossip about something somebody did 20 years ago, you're guilty. Learn to just zip it. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Hallelujah. But notice Brother Bram asked a question. He says, how do you know that you've got it? How do you know it's been revealed to you? How do you know it's revealed? And then he says, it lives itself and expresses itself through you. That's all there is to it, friends. It lives itself out through you. What does? The revelation of Jesus Christ does. That's what. So does that make you a prophet? Nope. Does that make you a teacher? Nope. Does that make you somebody special? Well, not in that way. That just makes you alive to the word for the hour in which you live. Now back to what Brother Bram says. He continues by saying, revelation of the truth. They have forgotten it. They went to, now when Luther raised up, he was a man, he was a great man. He had the revelation of that day. But what happened? A bunch of Rickies got in. Flat top haircuts, as we call them today, and Rickettas, and all of them. And they got around there, and the first thing you know, it's that. As I said, it wasn't a miracle that he could protest the Catholic Church and get by with it. It was a miracle that he could hold his head above all the fanaticism. But he said that expression. If you only knew the numerology of the Bible and know what Elvis or Ricky means to the Scripture. Just like, well, why did Jesus, you say, well, there's nothing to your name. There isn't. That name could only come in this last days of this last day's people. Why did Jesus change Abram's name to Abraham then? And Sarai to Sarah. Why did he change Saul to Paul? Why did he change Simon to Peter? And so forth, you see. Notice the emphasis Brother Branham places here is that it is God who changes the name. These men didn't change their own names. God changed their name. Men change their own names like spies. Well, over here I'm Dick Morris. Over here I'm Tom Harry. Over here I'm... And why would a man change his name? To hide who he is. Look, it wasn't Peter changing his name and Paul changing his name. It was God changing their name. You can change your name, brother, to anything you like, but that don't change your nature. God didn't change Abram's name until God changed Abram to be an Abraham. Hallelujah. God didn't change Jacob's name, which means supplanter, until God changed Jacob's nature from supplanter and deceiver to a genuine prince who has power with God. Hallelujah. God didn't change his name until he changed his heart first. God didn't change Jacob from Jacob to Israel until Israel wrestled with him all night long. And how many of you have wrestled with God? How many of you have had that backside of the desert experience where you met God face to face? Well, I met the preacher. That don't count. How many of you have met God and know you met God? Jacob did. It changed him. And God didn't change his name until he changed his heart. God didn't change Saul's name to Paul until God changed Saul, his heart, first. Saul was a murderer. Saul was a man trying to kill Jesus, Paul. was a man who had seen God. Hallelujah. So, brother, you may change your name, but if you didn't change your heart, what good has it done you? Then Brother Bram says, certainly it means something. That name could not be spoken till this day. That's talking about Ricky's and Elvis's. That's the reason that we've got this hellish thing that we call the earth today, is because of such things. The whole human race is corrupted. It's gone. See, that's why it is. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard change his spots? It doesn't stop there. It says, then also can you do good who are accustomed and taught and even trained to do evil? No, you can't. But God can. That's why it's not you changing who you are. It's God changing you by living in you, taking over your life. Yeah. Invite Him in. Invite Him in to let Him take over your life, to live your life for you. Brother Branham went on to say in 132, he said, notice now, he was all right. He was in his day, Luther, and he had the revelation, but as soon as he left, look what they did. Wesley had a message, look what it did. The old early Pentecostals had it, and look what they did. They got a bunch of men together, just like and exactly the same thing that God by grace sent Israel, a pillar of fire, a prophet and sacrifice, and showed himself among them, and brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they wanted a law so they could have great dignitaries. Now listen. Brother Branham's saying the pillar of fire came. God gave you a prophet. He gave you a leading to follow the pillar of fire. But what did you want? You want to set up organizations. You want to set up dignitaries. You want to set up hierarchies. You want to set up this guy above this guy above this guy. I'm sorry, brother, sister, that's not God's plan. Said Wesley had a message. They could have something to do into it. That's what they wanted. And what do? They was left in the wilderness for 40 years to wander, and not one of their organization ever went over. Organization can't go over. Notice his words. He's talking about that organizational spirit that kills them off, and every time it takes over the message of that day. Be careful. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that stood out and said, we're able to take it. And said, look at the word of God. Every one of them died in the wilderness, and Jesus said they were eternally gone. Right? And after he had showed his blessings and power in their ages, like Luther and Wesley and so forth, did he? He said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness. And he said, and they're everyone dead. Well, we got the tapes, and they're everyone dead. We've got the message books that line our walls, and they are everyone dead. We sat in the meetings. We saw the pillar of fire on the wall. We saw all these things, and they're everyone dead. That's eternal separation from God. Their carcass perished in the wilderness. See? They're dead. I'm the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. They couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. All right, church. The church has long forgotten it. They accepted intellectual message. I didn't say an intellectual gospel. He's talking about the message. They accepted intellectual message. Intellectuals. That's a person. Membership. Knowledge instead of the revelation of the truth of the word. Now look here. They say today, do you believe that God commissioned us to go into all the world, heal the sick and preach the gospel and cast out devils? Yes. I suppose that's right. But you see, notice Brother Branham is really nailing down their attitude. And the fact that they have turned down the word of God, the way God said it, and they've gone to an intellectual conception of the message where they can explain away the things that don't seem to fit their understanding or their lifestyle that they've chosen to live. He said they accepted intellectual message. He calls it the message. Yes, he does. He says that they have made it an intellectual conception. He says they accepted intellectuals, and Brother Branham taught us that an intellectual is one who is trained to bypass the Scripture. It doesn't matter that the only time that a person is baptized in the Bible is according to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll add Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because over here, you know, Jesus said something about it. So we'll make sure that we have it all. And they bypassed the correct formula. Now, Brother Peter, you know about formulas. And you know that if you add a little bit of something, say you're supposed to add two of this over here and one of this over here, but you add two of this over here and one of this over here, you got a completely different concoction. Yeah. Same with baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From a certain sound, Brother Anson, they bypass the word by their dogmas. Their creeds today. What's a dogma? What's a creed? Credo. Credo. Remember we talked about it a few weeks ago? Latin, credo. Spanish, creed. It means what you believe. They bypass the word of God by what they believe today. Because they're afraid, and here's the reason they do it. He says, because they are afraid to meet the issue. A brother says, you know, I think we're looking at John 14:12 wrong. We know that the greater works is identified in the ministry of William Branham, but what about he that believeth? Whoever believes. I think we should look at this. And they say, oh no, he's gone off the way. He's out of the side because they don't know how to handle it. Because they haven't preached it. Now they've got to admit to their people that they've made a mistake. That they've been in error. They won't change from preaching to Lord's because they've been preaching it too long. Instead of when Brother Vail said himself, who had been preaching it himself, and he said, you know what? It's an error. It's fallacy, which means it's false. Why would you want to preach for truth something that's false? Just like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism, that's false. Why would you preach it? But they do. You know why? They're afraid to meet the issue. I've had my eyes glimmered over. I thought I had everything perfect. I'm sorry, brother. You didn't. But you know, that's part of life. We change. We make mistakes. We fess up to it and we move on. Amen. Not just saying, well, I can't make a mistake, so I've got to hide it with more sin. And you start putting lie upon lie upon lie, and pretty soon you've got a whole putrid sore. It's like you have a scab. Just leave it alone. Eventually it'll heal itself. But you pick it and pick it and pick it. It might become cancerous. Then you got a whole lot worse. I've always said you put a pile of manure in a bucket and just leave it alone. It dries out. You don't smell it anymore. But you get in there with a stick. You start stirring it up. It's going to stink just even sometimes worse than it did the first time. Leave your life alone. Have you died or have you not died? Huh? Have I died to myself and allowed Jesus Christ to come in and live my life? Or am I still condemned by my past? Why should you be condemned by your past when you're not living your life anyway? Is Jesus is living it for you now? Amen. That old man died. Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ. He gives me the victory. Hallelujah. Victory is a gift. They bypass the word by their dogmas, their creeds, because they're afraid to meet the issue, and they bypass it and base the people upon intellectual education instead of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of His being. Amen. And in the same sermon, Brother Branham said the intellectual, that was from Uncertain Sound, paragraph 86, in the same sermon, Brother Branham said, the intellectual is someone who is trained to bypass the Scripture. Why? Because they can't take it what he says. Then he says, they accepted membership instead of the Word. And they've accepted knowledge instead of the revelation of the truth of the Word. So what have they got? A powerless gospel. That's what they got. They got membership. They got a club. from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, Brother Branham said, and today, man can stand in the pulpit with such intellectual and speech-making and education until they can explain the power of the Holy Spirit away from the Bible. They can explain divine healing away. They can explain speaking in tongues and interpretations. And they can explain the baptism of the Holy Ghost to another day. Or another formula. Well, my experience is that I believe. Didn't Paul say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Corinthians, book of correction, brother answered, no, brother. What God does is perfect. We ain't got no business with our minds putting anything to it. Just leave it the way He said it. God did it. God said it. That settles it. Just take it or don't know how. And if I could explain it, then I'd be equal with God. I can't explain. I just believe it. That's all. That's all I'm asked to do. There's nobody asked to explain it because it's beyond our intellectuals. It's beyond our intelligence. It's God who does it. So it cannot be explained. I just accept it by faith and say it is my private property. And I believe it and I cannot explain it. Whew. Hey. Takes a little bit of the stress off, don't it, Jim? From hearing, hear ye him, Brother Branham said, and they've got intellectual giants in the world today that can almost explain away everything that God said to be true. They can take it from a theological standpoint and intellectual, and if you just take your own mind of thinking, reasoning like Eve did at the beginning, they can explain everything in the Bible away from you. But if a man or a woman has ever been on the backside of the desert in those sacred sands, there's no intellectual can stand. And there come in contact with the living God, no devil, no scientist, or anything else can ever explain that away. So that just tells me those brothers that used to believe the sign and don't believe the sign anymore, they've never met God. Because nothing could separate you from the love of God. Nothing could separate you from this truth if you met God. That's why I say, get that experience, brother, sister. Get on your knees until you do. Like Brother Brown talked about the old color man, he said, "Your Lord, if you don't fill me with Your Spirit, then you're going to find here in this spot a dead bag of bones because I'm not moving until You do." Too many of you young people with the cell phones and all the distractions of life, the video games, your thumbs are probably better shape than your bellies. Listen, get on your knees. Go out in the woods someplace. Don't come back until you've met God face to face. Like Moses did in the pillar of fire. When Moses met God in that burning bush, nothing could set him back. Not even Pharaoh and his armies. Oh yeah. Brother Branham said, you don't even have a right to go into the pulpit until you've met God face to face. And how many educated men have come into these pulpits that don't know God. Well, they said, Brother Bram, you sure don't know your Bible. But he said, but I know the author real well. Hallelujah. No intellectual can stand and there come in contact with the living God. No devil, no scientist, no anything can explain it away. You were there. It happened. And you know it's the truth. You experienced it. There's no one can take that away from you because you met God. And I believe that God in every age sending forth a messenger always first meets that person on a sacred ground because it's got to be so. There's too much of evil to try to explain all the supernatural away, and where there's a supernatural God, there's going to be supernatural things happening because He is supernatural. Then why is there no supernatural happening among the so-called Peruzzi believers? With the exception of, and I don't say this to brag, with the exception of this ministry. It's because perhaps maybe I'm stupid enough or humble enough or simple enough to believe that if there's a supernatural God that's here, there's supernatural to take place. Amen. Because we've seen it in this church. We've seen it overseas. But have they? Just like last week, I read a testimony from a humble brother from Zanzibar, a small island country off of the coast of Tanzania, where a Lutheran boy, 5 years old, had died. And his mother had heard about these people believed in the supernatural God. So she called this pastor, had some people come to get him. He came to their house. She handed him the boy. He held on to this 5-year-old boy. He didn't know what to do except to do what the example was. Jesus, our example, William Branham, 20th century example. So he just prayed for the boy. He said, "Father, I just commit this boy's life back to his body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said whatsoever we ask, it shall be done." John 14:13. And he gave the boy back to his mother. She took the boy and she began to walk into the next room, and the boy jumped out of her arms. He didn't know what happened to him, so he just went outside to play with the other boys. She was Lutheran. "Oh, I don't believe that testimony because it didn't happen in our church." "Huh? Well, I don't believe it because it didn't happen in our camp." "Huh? Is that right? You poor, poor souls." Now, Brother Bram said, if a supernatural God is here, then supernatural things will take place. "Oh, but they'll say, I don't believe it. It's just somebody's talk." Well, from investments, Brother Bram said, no man has a right to preach the gospel until secretly, back on the backside of the desert, he stood on the ground with him and God alone. There's no intellectual being in the world could explain it away from you. That's right. You were there. You knowed it happened. No matter how much you can explain it, but wait, something happened. You know it did. You saw it with your eyes. You talked to it. And it talked back. And it sealed you into its being. And you become a part of it. You walk away from the intellectual giant. And we got plenty of them in the world today, and some dangerous ones too, that's well theologically trained, or theologically speaking, are trained to use that, and they know what they're doing. But don't fear, David, if the Lord is with you. So in getting back to our message, we're studying Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham said in paragraph 135, a lady talking to me the other day, she said, "Well, all the churches are in harmony." I said, "There isn't one of them in harmony with the other one. There's Catholics standing there." I said, "How about you? You're a Methodist and that's a Catholic. Are you in harmony with one another?" I said, "This Pope come to unite them together. That's a good thing for all of that kind of people. But the Church of God has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. It's out from the whole bunch." "That's right. Yes, sir. You wait. You want to unite that together? One believes in something and the other? Methodist takes sprinkling. The Baptist takes immersion. And both of them in denying the Holy Ghost in its fullness of the power?" And they said, we received the Holy Ghost when we believed. And the Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a difference, see? That's right, see? And they say, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Where's the signs, brother, sister? I'm not telling us to go running chasing signs, but they will happen. They have to happen if you're a believer. Because it said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, is Jesus a liar? I don't think so. In fact, I know he's not. So who's a liar? You are. That would believe such a thing as that. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where's it at? That's a vindicated prophet asking a question. Where's it at? Uh-huh. See, right. The works that I do shall you do also. Who's he quoting? Jesus. John 14:12. Every creature, he says. Every person that believes in him. Every person that believes in him. Not one person. Every person. A vindicated prophet. You're going to throw that out because it don't fit your little theology? He that takes the word out, his name shall be taken from the book of life. Lost! Lost. I'm going to read this together now. Jesus said, he's quoting Jesus. He's quoting God in Jesus, God in Christ. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? See? Uh-huh. See, right? The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in Him. Now, where's it at? That's His words. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Now, where's it at? See, this is from Christ. Here's the mystery of God revealed. Oh, brother. Brother Branham is going to get me in trouble one of these days with all these big shots out there. But I don't care. I'll say what he said. God led me to this sermon because this sermon shows without one doubt that when Brother Branham quotes John 14:12, is for everyone. He says it several times in this very same message. Read it yourselves. It's everywhere in this message. You can't read this sermon and not get that message drummed into your little noggin. So what do? We won't read that message. We'll stay away from it. You know, that's what they did in Africa. They said, well, you know, you brothers, don't use the quotes that Brother Kosorik uses. Don't use the scriptures he uses. Oh, so let's just... We got a Bible with about 3 pages in it. And that's your index. Oh, it just shows. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. Now look here. You take a big fine grain of corn that's hybrid, and you take that hybrid corn. It's a pretty corn, but you plant it. And what do you get? A little stalk comes up like this and turns yellow and wilts down. That's the way every denomination is when it hybrids with man's word mixed with God's word. It'll come up to the signs and wonders. Oh, listen to this. It'll come up to the signs and wonders and what Jesus said about believing the word. What does he mean there? What Jesus said about believing the word, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. And Brother Brown says, he said, it comes up to the signs and wonders and what Jesus said about believing the word, and it turns yellow. And it says, we can't accept it and go back. It turns yellow. What's yellow? They're afraid. And they're jaundiced. Now listen, brothers. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say this. Brother Branham said it. Notice again, he condemns that kind of thinking that is afraid of the signs and wonders that is supposed to be expressed in the Church of the Living God. He said it'll come up to the signs and wonders and what Jesus said about believing the Word, and it turns yellow and it says, we can't accept it and go back. So what did Jesus say about believing the Word and there would be signs and wonders? He said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, anyone who is a true believer in me, will do what I've been doing because my nature will be in them. And then there will even be one who comes along who will do even greater things than these that I'm doing. He will do more of them, much more of them, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So it's all about bringing glory to God, our Father. It's not about us. It's all about Him. They are so afraid that if someone really believes God and begins to manifest the supernatural in their ministry, they are so afraid that somehow that people will forget the one who came down. Now, how in the world can you forget the one who came down if the one who came down openly manifests His presence in our midst? You see, they're trying to say that, oh, there's going to be somebody come around. They're going to have great things to do. Listen, Brother Branham didn't say that. You can't tell me, and I don't say this to correct anybody, but to tell me, you're not a prophet. You don't interpret your own dreams. Unless that dream is actually like a vision and you actually see it come to pass. Don't tell me that somebody's going to come preaching the truth and be off. The false anointed ones is they're false to the word, but they're anointed in the spirit. There's your grounding, brother, sister. I don't look for somebody to come out and deceive you because you can't be deceived if you're grounded in this word. But I do look for somebody to come around to deceive all, and they've already done it. And they're not even falsely anointed. I don't see the miracles in these guys that are pulling people off this message. I don't see nothing but talk. And they pulled a great deal of them off already, brother, sister. You don't have to worry. The falling away is already happening. It's all happening by talk. Talk, talk, talk. Well, they had it in Brother Branham's day. You had the Oral Robertses, the Trinitarians, false prophets, but you had a true prophet. Now, what I want you to... Brother Branham said, from anointed ones at the end time, he said, I want you to know this is sure. And you that's listening to this tape, you might have thought today that I was saying that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice, and my voice even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he doesn't. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. He was just a messenger. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words would fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And if you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all this denominational and things of the world, will you at this time do it? While we pray, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we know, Father, that no man can do the things, the works of Christ, except that you do them. Because even your Son Jesus said, I can in my own self do nothing. But what I see the Father do, I step into that vision and I act it out. And God does the healing. God does the raising. Hallelujah. Yes. So Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. And living this life in this flesh is not about how principled we are, how disciplined we are. It's about dying and getting ourselves out of the way so that you can do it for us. Yes. That's what we want, Lord. Just to die to self and allow your love to express through us so that we might minister to others your love, your care. Father, it's not about programs and it's not about being good people or being bad people, but it's about simply dying. Dying to our own ambition. Dying to our own self, to our own desires, and allowing the life that you placed in your Son and that you extracted from him when you came back upon the believers. And you've imparted that same God life into us. Father, help us to water that life by the washing of water by thy word. Help us to die to self. Help us to learn to love like you love. Not as man who scratches the back of the one who's scratching his, but as your Son Jesus, who was hanging on the cross because of what men did to him, and yet he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. May that be our cry, O God. Father, those that would oppose, those that would do hurt, forgive them, Father. And help us, Lord, not to have an attitude of bitterness or attitude of hate or resentment because someone's not walking in our camp. Help us not even to have a camp. Help us just to be following your great presence, your pillar of fire. Help us to have our eyes so turned upon Jesus, looking full in his wonderful face, that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's all sing that song together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Last verse now.
His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. World that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful